He says this to them. Oh, but everything that you do, if people come against you and they chastise you, that's not because of you. It's because of me. So everything that you go through has purpose behind it. It doesn't make any sense now. We don't have the full knowledge and understanding, but it's for others along the way that he will send in your path. There's a demonstration of the kingdom of God that only comes through experience and revelation. Do you know that one thing that the enemy cannot take from you is revelation? Once you get revelation, it cannot be taken. So he tries to stop it before you get it. Whew. Preach myself happy. That's all right. I got you. Luke 24, verse 48 through 50. Luke 24, verses 48 through 50. I'm going to read it out of the Good News Translation. Verse 48 says, you are witnesses of these things. Of these things. And I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. Verse 50, then he led them out of the city as far as Bethany, where he raised his hands and blessed them. Here's what I want to share with you that I believe that we need to have an understanding of this particular passage in the Bible. We have witnessed the things that God has already done through Christ Jesus. We have witnessed the things that Christ has done in our life. Now he's saying, the promise of God is coming to you from above, and that is the power. But he does this, it's more important. The promise is coming to you, but I'm going to bless you on top of it. We would think that the power that is coming is the blessing. But the real blessing is when he blesses us. Whew, the power is secondary. His blessing is his promise to be with us every minute, every second, every place we go, he's there. That is his blessing of a father that will never leave you, never forsake you. Whew. And then what you desire, what you have cried for, what you have believed for, and what you have been petitioning for will take place. I don't know about you. I want to know that God has blessed me. The power comes because he's blessed us. He says, oh, wait a minute. The power is going to come. That's his promise. You're going to have to wait for it. Follow me, and I'm going to bless you. That's what he did. I told you about the promise and where it was at and where it's coming from, but now I'm going to take you away from it. Read it. Where were they? In the place where the power was going to come, where the promise was going to come. But then he says this. Woo! The power's coming. The blessing of the Father's coming. And it's coming to you. So come here. And I'm going to take you away from it. In a different direction. Woo! Where you felt like, you stay right there. Where you felt like where you needed to be for the power was the blessing, I'm going to take you in a different direction where the real blessing is going to come, because that's where you're going to spend some time with me. And there's where I will bless you. Once I bless you, that's secondary. Because the most important thing is to be blessed by God. The power is going to come anyhow because you've already received Christ. Because you've already believed, it's already going to come. But what he's saying is, don't get caught up in waiting for the promise. Follow me. And I'm going to lead you away from it. What did he do? He took me out of church. So I can get rid of all this religious mindset. Get rid of all this junk that man taught. And come spend time with me. Spend time with me. It's not going to feel good. You're going to feel like everything that you have done was in vain. But don't worry, I'll have people tell you along the way, I'm pleased with you. And all your works were not in vain. Everything that you have done was not in vain. But I got to spend some time with you alone, away from the people, away from everybody else, away from the church society, away from all those people that think they know everything. Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew the words so well, but didn't have understanding. So what do you do? Before you get the power, I'm going to bless you. So when the power comes, you have understanding. Do you understand? You say, yeah, I got understanding. I may lead you someplace only for you to have to go back to receive the promise. How many of you have felt like you've been led? Thank you, babe. Led in a different direction. Oh, yeah. You ever felt that way, Mom? Jennifer, you ever felt that way?
Oh, yeah.
See, have you ever felt that way? You know. My blessing is right here. My blessing is right. It's coming. I feel. What do you mean move? It's that way. Why are you going that way? No. I need you to be with me. There's where the true blessing is. Be with me. And only a few of you can be with me. Sometimes I got to move people out of the way. Because they're more interested in the promise than spending time with me. If you get me, you get the Father. If you get me, you have the kingdom. But if you stand just for the power, you don't get the whole kingdom until you're blessed first. He could have just left him alone. So there it is. Just wait there. It's going to come. That's the promise of the Father. But he had to take. Many times we're waiting in a place thinking that it's going to be right there. But he leads you in a different direction. We're all along. I just want to be back over there. I want to be right there. And when I get there, I'll know I've made it. That's only the beginning part. So I know that God is leading us somewhere and he's taking us somewhere. And we have to know that he has already blessed us. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read verses 3 through 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. That'll preach all by itself. How many different ways does he have to prove himself to you? Does he have to always come through with bills, or does he have to come through in different ways for you all the time? He comes through many different ways. He appeared to them in different ways and proved beyond the doubt that he was alive. They saw him. They talked with him about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. My question, as my mind begins to read this, is here I am talking to you, talking to Jesus. I realize you have been resurrected. I've seen you in different forms. Now I understand what you're saying and what you've said until this point is to be true. Now I know that my Father in heaven has promised me something and it is coming. But then the next verse says, John baptized in water. What are you talking about John for? I want to keep talking about God and this promise. What he's trying to tell them is something that they had not experienced ever before. They understood a symbolism of what was to be later known in the church is the baptism and the immersion of the Holy Spirit, not just the water. So he was telling them something. What you're about to experience, you've never experienced before. How many of you have been hearing that in the atmosphere? That something that is coming, it's something we've never experienced before. What God is about to do, it's something we've never seen before. Many prophets out there are declaring that this outpouring is going to be so phenomenal that the crazy things that we can only imagine will take place. I say, well, I don't want to miss it, God. I don't want to miss it. So he tells them that John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. baptizo, the Greek word, which means immersed, filled, inside and outside. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're filled on the inside and the outside. This is going to knock some of the religious mindsets of some of the folks that feel like when you get around some wicked people, the wickedness is going to jump on you. Oh, don't get near them because you won't get a spirit attached to you. It's going to jump on you. You don't know what kind of spirit's going to jump. Not if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. How is a spirit going to jump on the Holy Spirit? And we have people walking around in fear of spirits. Shoo. Ain't nothing but a little grasshopper. But we get so scared because how many of us have heard that when we were growing up in church? Don't be quick to lay hands on people because you don't know what's going to jump on you. I mean, have y'all heard that before? Don't be laying hands on people so quick because whatever's on them is going to jump on you. I don't read that in the Bible. I read that everywhere that the disciples went, what did they release? Kingdom. So the kingdom of darkness has no power. But the light that is in us drives out the darkness. So let's get those religious folks back. You know, the religious ones, they walk around with their Bibles. Just side note, rabbit show real quick. I knew this individual had this Bible. Highlighted all over the place, pages falling out and everything. He says, hey, you got a torn up Bible? You got a messed up Bible? You got a good life or a straight life or something like that. I said, I don't know about you, but look. And you're highlighting over here. We're highlighting over here. You're highlighting scripture. I said, shouldn't the whole thing be highlighted? Yeah. And then shortly after that, that Bible came out where all the verses are highlighted, all these different, right? Yeah. And so I told him, I said, look, I saved you all that highlighter cause. Here you go. I got you a Bible. It's all highlighted for you. He says, no, you don't understand. I have certain scriptures that I use when I'm praying. Well, shouldn't you use them all? Right? We should use all the scriptures when we're praying. So I asked him, I said, oh, God, help me. Okay. Oh, my life is together because I'm in the Word so much. You got a job? You got a job? Your job. What about your car? Ain't working? Oh, okay. Where are you living? In your car, but it ain't working. There's something that ain't connecting here. He said, no, but you don't understand the living the life of faith. But unless the Lord told you to do that, the Lord, you're going to put yourself through all kinds of misery. I don't have to say a word. My mom already knows who the individual is. So she knows I'm telling the truth. I'm not just telling you a story. It's truth. So mama had to kind of be mama to him for a little bit. You living like that? And you're a minister. Oh, you're a prophet. An evangelist. You getting paid? Where are you ministering at? On the street. Oh, how you getting around? You see, we get so radical in our faith that we get out of order. We get so far on the outside of being right with the Lord. So I said, God, shoo, don't make me go through all. And I'm pointing to the Bible. I'm not pointing. I'm pointing to the Bible saying, don't make me be the one carrying the Bible, carrying my highlighter. Remember that little bag? You got me that bag that one time. They had all the highlighters in that bag to carry the Bible. Had the highlighters in there, carried the pen and pencils, and then the paper in there, and I would carry it around, and I started looking like the people I hated. I'm sorry, I'm just telling the truth. Walk around with that thing, and they looked at me, what's that? Oh, Lord, I became what I didn't want to become. So I put that away. Remember the little Bible that I got? It's about that big. That little Bible, Lord, We had a date, me and the Lord. But I need to carry things around. I started living scripture out.
There you go.
I started living it out. Yeah. That became the highlight of the word.
Yeah.
Where people could say, hey, there's just something, you've changed. You're not so mean like you used to be. Yes, I am. I mean, no, I'm not. But you see, when you start putting the word to work inside of you, the word begins to work inside to drive out what had been placed there from the outside. So when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, oh, watch out now. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, how many of you were told that you got to just start, open your mouth, just open your mouth, just open your mouth, start just A-E-I-O-U, ba-ba-ba-ba-ta-ba. Just to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Remember all that? Okay, just open your eyes. It's going to come. And then they start doing this. Bah, bah, bah. I was like, leave me alone. Have you had that happen? Watch, come here, church. Come here, church. Come here. This is why I started hating Christians. I'm just being honest with you. Okay. I used to tell them, I want the Holy Ghost so bad. Baptize me. And they said, oh, you want to get baptized? Okay. I just want you. Okay. You got to raise your hands. Raise your hands. Okay. Now open your mouth. Just got to open your mouth because it's going to come out. Now all I want you to do is just go ba, 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 ba. Okay. It's coming. Give it to God. Give it to God. Think about it. That's, and I was like, I don't want church and Christians like this. So, okay, come here, Colin, come here. This time, it's me and my wife. This time, it's me and my wife, and they do it, both of us. Okay, this is what you got to do because it didn't work last time. Watch this. This is what they told us. You see, you didn't really believe you got sin in your life.
Oh, no, they didn't.
I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, so I was getting rid. I said, I'm not filled, and I'm a sinner. Then what I'm about to do to you ain't going to matter. You went, watch this. They're in my house. You're in my house judging me. So then, would you like to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost too? So they switch it to Inez. So here we are. Here we go again. Okay, raise your hands. Raise your hands. This time, close your eyes so you don't get distracted. Keep your mouth open. Mouth open. Colleen, mouth open. Quit laughing. You're not taking this serious, Colleen. Okay, now. How many of you have been there where they try to force it on you? Come on. Y'all have never had that? Have you got that too? Oh my God. Okay, here we go. This couple. Bless her soul. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them hard. So, you know, hard too. So, here it goes again. Okay, just open your mouth. Now this time, all I want you to do is just roll your tongue. La 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 la. Okay, it's going to come. Fire! They start screaming. Inez opens her eyes like, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Oh, I can see that. For sure.
Remember that? Bobo, you remember that? That's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't feel nothing. Some of y'all know my wife. She's just not feeling it. So now they took it personal, like, oh, we weren't listening to them. We were making fun of them. You're making us look like idiots. Right? So you just need to repent. Okay. Now we had food. You know when Christians get together late after church, they have food. So I attributed my weight to that. So I got saved and I got big. Okay, so I got filled with the holy, what was that roll we used to get? The holy Danish roll. Okay, that was one thing I really received. I didn't get the baptism. So now they're telling Inez, okay, you know what? You have to just, you have to feel it. You got 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 to feel it. Here it comes. Here it comes. Take it. Take it. Take it. Ain't nothing happened. Nothing happened. So they leave. Inez and I are sitting there at the table. This is, I mean, that thing up like crazy now. My coffee in that Danish roll. You remember those Danish rolls we used to have? And by the time we knew it was midnight already. And we're just eating. This is ridiculous. I can't believe they're never coming to our house no more. I don't want nothing to do with these Christians. I was like, what was that? What happened? God had to move some people out the way so that we could spend some time alone in his presence, that he could give us what we desired, his way. Thank you, guys. Do you la 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 la? You can. That's it. You got the la la la, right? Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now, okay. So that's why I got so tired of dealing with the church folks, because of how they were taught is how they were teaching others. Right? Now, when I read baptism of the Holy Ghost, it came because they were all in one accord in the place he told them to go, being obedient to the command to wait. Who, incidentally, there was more there. But they dispersed, they left, and there was only a short number left. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, they started speaking other tongues. And they're looking around like, oh my God, this is fun. Let's go in the streets. They didn't stay there. They went into the world. They went out into the streets. That those that experienced what they were experiencing, they said, oh, they're drunk. Here, Peter, oh. With Mr. Peter. Peter comes out. Oh, they're not drunk like you perceive with wine. Oh, but what they have is the new wine. You see, what was taking place is that people that didn't understand began to question what was taking place. How many times have you had people in your workplace or your schools or wherever you're at that they ask you questions? Right? Just release the kingdom on them. Just release the kingdom on them. Don't get all spiritual. No, don't whip out your Bible and all this. Nip. You're the Bible. You're the Word, the living Word. You're the one that has the kingdom inside of you. Amen. Did you know that if, as long as I just touch you, guess what you just received? Woo! The kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's it. You're transmitting the kingdom of God to others. That's all we got to do. I was teaching this in the prophetic class, that all you have to do is just touch someone. You don't even have to go and pray and all this long prayers for healing. And then you're there for like 15 minutes. The people are like, what are you praying for? I forgot. He's just kind of rambling on. But the reality is, all you have to do is just touch. And he says, lay hands on the sick. That's what it says. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Did he say, go pray for them for 15, 20, 30, 40, an hour? And then they'll recover. No. Go lay hands on them. Why lay hands? Because you're transmitting power. What does the Bible say about receiving the gifts, the unlocking of the gifts, and receiving the baptism? That can be done the same way. I had an individual that wanted to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord told me, touch him with your knee. I bind that lying spirit. That devil. Touch him with your knee. Oh, I'm sorry. And it came out. It has nothing to do with what I believe or what I think. Just be obedient. Amen. Oh, my knee is very powerful. You better be careful. It's very powerful. I didn't wash my knee for a month. But the reality is we transmit the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you have been taught this? I know it was out there for the longest time. I've heard it so many times. Okay. I'm going to, if I go in my notes, I'm going to, joking. Do you know why we don't receive the blessing from God? And I'm not talking about your breakthrough. I'm not talking about that. Why many don't receive the blessing, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because of wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. And one of the first things that they said, I remember this. I remember being in a church service. And I wanted the baptisms the moment I got saved. I wanted to do what they do. I don't know what they're saying, but it's cool. I'm still a kid. I'm a kid at heart. I want to talk like how they're talking. I tell my mom, what are they doing? Praying in tongues. I want that. You can have it. Okay? I want it. Here comes the teaching after we had this discussion. If you have sin in your life, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was like, that don't make no sense. The same preacher said everybody got sin. You talking in the tongues. I want to talk in tongues, but you said everybody got sin. So you just said what you just said, that you can't get baptism because you got sin. But you just, what you just said is everybody got sin. How are you baptized then? So I began to think, some people, this, just what they hear, they repeat, not searching out truth. So when I heard that, it was going to shut me down. I said, no, God, I want it. I'm a mess, and I'll be a mess till you take me home, because you're gonna be making me over. Because we don't all got it together. And if you think you do, you're getting ready to find out how messed up you really are. Because that's what he's going to deal with. Why? Because he wants to make us whole. When do we become whole? When he says, give up the ghost and come with me. We become whole. What is the wholeness? We're in his presence. We're full in his presence, right? Now, unforgiveness is another blocker. Now, that's truth. Now, I could understand if there's sin in your life, whatever, you know, sin keeps you from the blessings. But the sin doesn't keep you from him coming to you. That's why he comes to you. So I started having that understanding. Well, God, I want this promise, and I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I may mess up along the way, but I know you're there to help me. And then he says, start forgiving people. I don't know about you, but I went through this whole deliverance class by myself with God. He gave me that book, that little notebook that I used to carry around in there. He says, take it out, go in your closet. How many of you heard that, go in your closet? How many of you literally go to your closet and pray? Okay. Okay. So what did I do? I go in my closet and I build me an altar. I put an altar. Remember that you still have the thing. An altar. I put my candles in there. I put a stereo in there. So I had my music. Had it real low. Did my communion in there. Had the word right there. Opened up, you know. Just like opened up. And then I had this curtain. My mom put a curtain up. Remember, Michael? Had this curtain. It was a long closet. And so when you walk in the closet, close, close, close. But then you would see this curtain. And not anybody can go into my closet. This one time, all of us were in the closet behind that veil. Aww. All laid out in the presence of God. Hannah was, oh my God. Hannah had the little stubby hair. Remember that? She had little stubby hairs. Hannah, Josh, Joseph, and Michael, and me and Inez, right behind that veil. The candles on, had the music on, and we felt the presence of God so strong. We were all in there, right? So when the Lord told me to do that, I went in the closet. This is before we got it all ready. I went in the closet. What are you going to show me, God?
I'm looking in my closet. Okay, I gotta get things in order. That's why you have me in here. Okay, I'm gonna get rid of this. Sit down. You know, I sat down on the floor. I said, "What are you?" He said, "Now lay down, prostrate." So I ain't gonna lie. I had to look at what prostrate meant. I didn't know. So I lay down. My body began to shake. My body came off the ground, shaking. And all of a sudden, what came out of me was like a wind. Oh, you remember when we were on Camry Springs? It happened to me there too. I was in my closet, different house, in my closet. It just started happening. Then we got into the other house. And then they were in the living room. Hannah, Josh. No, it was Josh, Joseph, and then your mom. And I'm praying in that closet. My whole body is shaking, lifted off the ground. And the wind came out of my bedroom, down the hall, into the living room, out the door. Ask Michael. He remembers it. There was a rattling going on, and they could hear the wind. So after that, I was so done. I'm praying in my closet. What I say, once you experience and have revelation, nobody can take it away. So now we're moving in this other house. We have this closet. Now everybody's in there, okay? Now when I'm in this closet, I do the same thing. Now I'm prostrate, and my body comes up, and it starts to shake. But then this time, he says, "You're a prophet." I get out of the closet in the morning. Mom, what's a prophet? Am I telling the truth? I didn't know. I just got saved. So I'm experiencing all these things. I said, "Okay, what does the prophet do?" I'm thinking he's going to tell me something just like awesome, right? Mom says, "Get ready." What do you mean, get ready? Get ready. So then I go in my closet. Now this time I'm trembling. What's going to happen? All hell broke loose. Lost everything. Lost everything. Had to go move into sister-in-law's house. All of us in one room. Lost vehicles. Matter of fact, I think y'all remember I told you we had a pickup truck. Inez, Hannah, myself, Josh, Joseph, and Michael in the bed of the truck. And if it was raining, big old blanket over the top. Going to church that way. I'm going to say it again. Going to church that way. Okay. I won't say it because people get me. On time, too. So I started going through some things. Why do I tell you this? Because sometimes God is going to teach you some things, not the traditional way. So that when he teaches you, you experience something different. And when you experience it differently, who can take that away? You can't. You've experienced it, now you begin to live it. And this is what it's saying here. Matthew 6:15 is when he started showing me, go and write on that paper all the names of the people that you got to ask forgiveness for. I had done so much wrong in my life. So I started going through all of that. So in Matthew 6:15 it says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So I started going through that forgiveness process. I started forgiving people. I started forgiving myself. I started forgiving God. I started saying all these things so I can make things right. So in that time that I started having experiences with him, he began to show me things so that I could receive more of his promise. Okay? He was going to keep giving more and more. Now, the other thing he started showing me was why did this came up? It's because when we were growing up, my grandmother did a lot of things that were not church, but she knew some things of witchcraft. Good, you know, what we call the good witch, you know, the good kind of witchcraft. White witch, the good things. They knew of all that. She came to know the Lord. She renounced all that, and she started healing people left and right. Okay? Now, we used to go to the tarot card readers. We used to go to, I don't even know, I just remember this one place we used to drive to, and I always had to be outside. And they used to do some sort of prayer for things. And so the Lord started showing me, there's some things that were going to prohibit you from getting the blessings and the promises. And that's found in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. These are the prohibited practices. There should not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, who uses divination or is a soothsayer or an augur or a sorcerer or a charmer, a medium, a wizard, or a necromancer. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and it is because of these abominable practices that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. These things, if you had it in your life and participated in any of it in your life before, you have to renounce it. You've got to cancel its works and denounce the very things that you've accepted into your life. I didn't understand all of this. I began to start inquiring of God, and he started showing me in the word, and I started going through and shutting doors of all these curses that I would speak on people, and that I would go to this individual and pay money to put a curse on another individual. And he started showing me, these are things that you have opened the doors to, and if you're not careful, they're going to follow you. And they're going to wreak havoc in your life. So I started going through not only the forgiveness, but I started renouncing and closing all these doors. Now, number three, the other thing that will keep you from acquiring the blessing from the Lord, not just the baptism, but his promises, is Luke 11, 11 through 12, and it is fear. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So when I read that, I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, if my son asked me for a taco, he's getting a taco. This don't make no sense here. But what he's saying is that if you're asking your Father in heaven for the blessing from above, you're afraid that your life is not in line or in order to receive it. So you don't ask. Okay? Or the other thing was, when I was learning the ropes here, as following the kingdom principles, is I thought that the blessings, the gifts, and the talents, and all of the cool gifts for the kingdom were only for preachers. And so I realized they're for all of us. You know they're for you, right? You know that you can have them, that you should be asking for them. So the fear keeps us from acquiring what God has for us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be fearful of the unknown, especially when it comes to God. I don't know where the path is going to lead us to. I don't know where we're going to wind up. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm going to trust him. Right? How many times have we felt like we don't quite know where he's taking us? I'm trusting you, God. I don't know how much, though. Because you don't know what he's doing yet. We just have to trust him all the way. Now, if you ask the Lord, you know he'll give it to you, right? Luke 11, 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? You can receive it by faith, just like you did salvation. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you want the special gifts, you want the power gifts, you want the gifts of working in miracles, all you have to do is ask. That's it. So where I'm going with this is that it's not just about the speaking in tongues, the prayer languages, or to edify yourself, and the scriptures to back that up. But it is so that we walk in the power and demonstration of the kingdom, so that wherever we're at, we demonstrate kingdom. That we're not just quoting scripture, we're not just reading the word to people, we're demonstrating. We should be demonstrating the kingdom of God. When I touched that young man with my knee, because the Lord said so. Got baptized with the Holy Ghost. When I touched an individual, and I was telling this at the prophetic class, when we were in Kenya, the prophetic class in Kenya, we had broke for lunch. And the Lord told me to lay my head on the shoulders of this one guy. I said, "You ain't doing that." Why am I going to do that? So here we are, plates in our hands. He's there. There's another gentleman right here. I haven't eaten. I haven't taken a bite of any of my food. The Lord says, put your head on the shoulders. So they know I like food over there. Like, I joke around about food. So I said, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like I'm going to fall. Played it all out. So that the other guy didn't feel left out. I said, get the double portion of it too. I'm going to go. So I did it to the other guy. Now, did the guy fall out? Did he speak in tongues? Did he start convulsing and start manifesting demon? No. The Lord didn't tell me why to do it. He just said, do it. Did the other one too. The head. So I have lunch. I didn't think anything of it. So I have lunch. We're sitting down on the veranda eating, and we go back. Now, during the time of the worship after the lunch, the guy that I put my head on, he's sitting down weeping at the chair. After the class, he comes up to me. He says, I understand. I said, what do you mean? He goes, no, you don't understand. I said, no, I don't. What do you mean? Every time I would read the word, or every time I would preach the word, because he was a pastor, he didn't understand what he was saying. He was just doing what he saw other people do. But now, he had understanding. That's why he was weeping at his chair. I could say that was because I put my head on his shoulders. I don't know. All I know, it was the same guy that the Lord told me, put your head on his shoulder. Put your head on my shoulder. And I think it released something. But because of the act of obedience, releases the blessing in somebody else's life. Now, I could attribute, says, okay, head is knowledge, wisdom. He got understanding. So I walked away saying, God, thank you that you used me. Maybe it had nothing to do with me. Okay, amen. I just put my head on his shoulder, and that's what the Lord said. The other guy, he never came up, never said a word. So no power on this side of my head, I guess. So. I don't know, just the right side. We have to release the kingdom. We have to demonstrate. We have to understand that what we're called to do is to release kingdom. Everywhere you go, and every person you come in contact, don't ever let them come into the studio without you touching them. Even if it's a high five, when they're coming or they're going, release the kingdom. Watch how you'll see. Now, there's an individual, and I don't know who this is. I just saw it right now as I'm telling you. There's an individual that is struggling with the midsection, not because it's fitness class, but this is more of a medical issue. To the point she's frustrated because she can never get past what we would call the plateau. It has nothing to do with the physicists. The heathen of heathens, whatever you want to call me, whatever, don't matter. Went, had a little, what do you call it, like a company outing, an office outing. It was 15 of us. We go to this bar. We're playing pool, throwing darts, and they had a barbecue fundraiser that was going on. So here I am playing pool. Gentleman walks in. He had a little limp going on, and it's like he had pants on and boots, so you couldn't. He just had a limp. I said, "Your toe's broken, isn't it?" He says, "Yeah, I just broke it yesterday." "How'd you know?" I said, "Why are you wearing boots?" I said, "Because your toe's broken. But if you take your boot off, the moment you take your boot off, you're going to hear the bone pop. Yeah, it's going to get back in line. It's going to feel real good." I'm just kidding. Rebellious, honoring with God. That was me. Guy sits down. He tells us his girlfriend, wife, whatever, get my boot off. So I'm having, here's the bar. Here's the pool table. So I look over. I say, "Hey, go ahead, man. Go ahead."
takes his boot off. Oh my God! The wife heard the pop. Or the girlfriend, whatever she was. She heard the pop. He got up, he walked around with no boot on, and he came to me. Look. Look. I said, yeah, it's better, isn't it? How'd you know? I said, if I tell you, don't make fun of me. But it felt good, didn't it? Man, are you kind of those kind of witches or something? I said, no, man, that was God. I know God. That was God. That's the only one that can do that. There's no way I was to know what was going on in your foot. But that was God. The wife is crying. Or I say, well, I don't know what she... I don't know. Anyway, the girl was crying. That woman. She was crying. And so I just... Okay, amen. I didn't celebrate. Hey, hallelujah, whatever. I just kept playing pool. She comes up to me later and she says... You know that was going to cost us a lot of money that we don't have because he don't have insurance. He heard it at work. I said, well, he should get workman's comp then. He should get, he goes, no, they won't pay it because he was drinking on the job. They were going to fire him. But they were going to give him another chance, but now because of his toe, he wasn't going to be able to work. You know, sometimes you're like, okay. He goes, now he can go back to work. And I'm thinking, well, what about the whole drinking thing, you know? But she was excited because she saw how God did something, not in a church. It wasn't so spiritual. It was, this is what's going on. What happened? The Lord said, there's something with his toe. It's broken. Okay. Hey, man, your toe's broken? Why are you wearing boots? And comes, yeah, how you know? You know, you got boldness from a distance. They walk up close. Hi. But to see that happen, to see how it not only touched him, healed him, but touched her. See what the kingdom of God is for? Release the kingdom. How many times have you had an encounter with someone you really don't want to pray? You really don't want to pray for them. You have a tendency to kind of like, oh. I've seen more people get touched by God with a simple touch. Hey, God bless you. And if it's truly God, he'll let you see the manifestation. And you're like, ooh, do it again. We should be having fun. We should be walking around with our heads down because we're going through something. Remember, something's going on again. We all go through something. Whether you were in church or not, you're going to go through something. When I was out of church, I was still going through something. When I had those Christians too, it's because you left church. Well, when I was in church, I still had the problems. But how about we just walk around and just give the devil a black eye? Huh? And just say, you know what? Someone who's sick in here right now? Right now. Who's sick in here? Yeah, so come over here. Come on. I just feel faith right now. Come on. We just release kingdom. I believe by the power of God that you are healed by his stripes already. Done. I declare unto you, beloved, that you walk in your wholeness, that everything will turn around. And you will get the good report. The doctors will prove it. The labs will prove it. That you are healed. Jesus' name. Amen. Who else in here has got something going on? Who else? Come on. Now I want you to do it right there. Right there. Release to her. Release the kingdom. Release the kingdom. Who else? Who else? There you go. That's how you do it. Come on. Come on, everybody. Who else is in here? Who else? Anybody else? No? Yeah, there is. There's one more. Don't be ashamed. Get up here and you'll feel that healing. You're in here. You're in here. I will call you by name. One. Two. Annette? Yeah. Why you close your eyes like that? I gave you every opportunity at the very beginning. That's it. Release the kingdom right here. It's not about me. No, no, right here, right here. You're doing it to her. You're doing it right there. You just release the kingdom. Both of you, both of you. You see, what we have been accustomed to is looking for the faith healers, or looking that it's the pastor, or looking as the elder, the more anointed. You carry the same anointing inside of you that Benny Hinn has, or that Captain Coleman operated under, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth. All that same anointing is in you. It's not different than before. It's all inside of you. He's inside of you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Get up and touch your heart right now. Get up and touch your heart right now. Touch your heart. Touch your heart. Touch your heart. There you go. There's a double impartation taking place right now concerning the region of your heart, concerning relationship, concerning the brokenness, that everything that's taking place. There's a double impartation that is coming to the both of you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Where you feel like you've missed it, where you feel that you've been done wrong, or maybe you've done some wrong. God says, I am turning things around for the both of you, says the Spirit of the living God. I am moving on your behalf because I release the kingdom of God right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who else? Who else? Who else? Come on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Continue. If you're walking into a service and you feel the oppression, don't think it's you. Oh, it's the church. No, there's somebody in the church that needs something. When you walk into a hospital, that's why I can't stand hospitals. I feel everything. And I walk out of there like, oh my God, I felt so bad. Right? The reality is that you're feeling what they're feeling. I finally got to the point when I was there just recently, I just heal them all. I don't care. Bless them. Heal them. Whatever you got to do, God, I just release kingdom. So when you go into the hospital, it's supposed to be so sanitary that no germs can survive. That's the place that's germ infested. Look, as you take out all that, you know, antibacterial soap right now. But the reality is, the reason why they're there is because they're sick. The reason why people come in with spirits is because they don't even know that they're being attacked. And all of a sudden now, things are manifesting in their life. They don't understand it. Why am I going through? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? But the revelation that God will give them in a message or even in a setting can set them free. You never know who you're going to be sitting next to and for what reason. I'm just going to sit in this chair. I know it's not, you know, Baya's not here tonight, but I'm going to sit here anyway. I'm just going to just sit here. But you don't know that maybe the person that is there needed that touch. You understand? We should be looking for every opportunity to release the kingdom. Just release the kingdom. You see it. That's what we need to be prepared for. So in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to continue to speak on the very miracles, the supernatural of God, so that we can begin to see that it is our everyday life. So that we can walk in the power, not just by declaring, also doing and demonstrating. That's what the kingdom of God's about. If he can do it when I'm out there acting a fool before with the Lord. Crazy kind of, I told you, I got scared. It was so accurate. When I saw that man's toe, it was weird. I mean, the way the Lord showed it to me. Not when he literally showed me, but when the Lord showed it to me, it was like, oh, what's that? Boldness came out. It wasn't like I talked to him here. Hey! Boldness. Maybe because the setting was different. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I know that I walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Each and every one of us do. Let's release it. Amen? Stand to your feet if you want.